The gospel is now crossing borders and going into areas that had not heard it before. And as always happens when the gospel is preached, some believe it and are glad, and others reject it and despise the ones who preach it. As it was back in the book of Acts, so it is today.
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Louise Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource. You can enhance your understanding of the Gospels by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide of the Gospels, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Well, today our adventure will lead us through the 13th chapter of Acts, narrating the first missionary journey. At this point, it was time for the early church to put Jesus' teachings into practice and to reveal him to the world, overcoming every challenge they faced along the way. Now, we don't have to defend the gospel, friend. Did you know that? Well, as it's described, the gospel is like a lion that is let out of its cage. It will defend itself. So, let's pack our bags and let's get on the road as our teacher, John Matthews, presents the theme, Crossing Borders.
Esther, thank you, and great to be with you, and a very warm welcome to Mission 66, wherever you join us from today. It's great to be with you. And so, yeah, we've seen in previous episodes how this gospel now is reaching out from Jerusalem to the Gentiles. Let's keep in our minds, though, that the first Gentile church was born, that is, a non-Jewish church in Antioch in Syria. And when we read the last verse of chapter 12, we're going to find out that when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So they are all together, Barnabas, Paul, John, Mark, at the end of chapter 12. So we get to chapter 13, which says, Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now this is significant. Simeon was called Niger. Now Niger is the Latin word for black. So it's very likely that Simeon was African. Lucius of Cyrene. Well, Cyrene was a name that referred to Libya. And it says that one of Herod's friends was now a believer. Can you believe that? So we begin to see the diversity, the beautiful diversity in this international church. And verse 2 goes on, While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. Paul is going with Barnabas and John Mark, and this journey is going to last 2 years, going from the year 46 AD to the year 48. Verse 4 says, So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John Mark to assist them. Now there's trouble following. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, named Bar-Jesus. He was the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, you will not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Persia in Pamphylia. This was in modern-day Turkey. And John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. This is the writer of the Gospel of Mark, but he was a young man at the time that he met Paul on his journey, and for one reason or another, he decided to go back home. Now, he was actually criticized for that move, but later we'll see that he made amends for that and was useful in other ways. But they went on from Persia and came to Antioch in Pisidia, not Antioch this, in Syria, where they had first called these followers of Jesus Christians, a different Antioch. This is in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and they sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." Paul was not going to let this opportunity go, and he made good use of what was a remarkable opening to preach. Verse 16 says that Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. And all this took about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Saviour, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way: I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. He's talking here about Jesus rising from the dead. Verse 38, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Quoting Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. You see the church continuing to cross borders. The Jews, as well as people who did not have God, are interested. The message of Jesus is being preached, and many open their hearts and they want to know more. Verse 44 goes on, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But here comes some more trouble, because when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The gospel is crossing borders and going into areas that had not heard it before. And as always happens when the gospel is preached, some believe it and are glad. Others reject it and despise the ones who are preaching it, as it was back in the book of Acts, so it is today.
You're listening to Mission 66, as we study the Bible chapter by chapter with our teacher, John Matthews. And today we're in Acts chapter 13. John, I'm thinking back to Jesus' words where he told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. But here's the thing, why is it only now in chapter 13 that there's this emphasis on missionary work?
Well, Esther, remember that Christianity was still just getting started, really. It was born at Pentecost. That was around the year 30 AD. Now here we're looking at the year 46, so about 16 years later. So the church begins with a small group of disciples in the city of Jerusalem in Judea, and it was rather insular, not reaching out all that far. But then something happened with the stoning of Stephen. Persecution broke out, and that was the spark that really got the church going. And they began to reach out to Gentiles for the first time, starting with the Roman centurion Cornelius, and then with the founding of the first completely Gentile church in Syrian Antioch. And the other thing is that God had picked Paul for missionary outreach to the Gentiles. But first, Paul himself had to go through a whole preparation process. You know, he spent quite some time in Arabia, where he grew in his faith. He did some outreach there. And by chapter 13, God considers that Paul is ready enough now to send him off on this first missionary journey, the journey or the mission that he'd prepared him for.
Yeah, and you know, we see here that when they came to a strange town, their strategy was to go to a synagogue first. Okay, so why do they still go to synagogues?
Well, yeah, I guess it makes sense in that they had to start somewhere. So where do you go? Well, they go to the place where the word of God was already accepted. At least the Old Testament law and the prophets were accepted. Now, the gospel was meant for the Jews first, and then the Greeks and the Gentiles. So the Jews were already prepared, in a sense, for this message. Long had they been awaiting the arrival of the Messiah, and they had the law and the prophets. So in one way, it's easier for Paul to show from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, because that was language and something that they'd known and read all their lives, and pointing out to them that these prophecies had indeed been fulfilled. So the seed had been planted. So I guess we could look as Paul and Barnabas as being fruit gatherers. You know, they were coming to trees that had fruit on them, ripe for the picking. And also, we need to keep in mind that a synagogue was not a 100% Jewish environment. There were at least two other groups who were attending the synagogues. They were the proselytes, who were Gentiles who had converted to Judaism, but also God-fearing Gentiles who accepted the Jewish faith enough to go to the synagogue. So these people were a mixed bunch, but they were good prospects as a first step when it came to preaching the gospel.
So what about this gentleman, the proconsul Sergius Paulus? I mean, he was very important, right? He was intelligent, well-cultured, and yet he still got fooled by the false prophet that we read about.
Yeah, and there are many false prophets and wizards gone out into the world whose evil influence is very powerful. And, you know, it is easy to be fooled. Remember, one of the temptations of Jesus himself was that he could be given all the kingdoms of the world if only he would bow down and worship the devil. Of course, he resisted, but there are people who fall for the devil's lies quite easily, thinking their best hope of happiness in the world is to listen to wizards and worship the devil. And this idea is found amongst the very rich and powerful as well as the very poor. Sergius Paulus was targeted by this wizard whose name was Bar-Jesus. And when Paul comes along preaching the truth, the wizard tries to turn the man away. And it was an evil thing to do, and Paul was tough on this wizard, and so he was blinded as a judgment against what he was doing. And this is what caught Sergius Paulus's attention, and by God's grace he was delivered from the deceit of the false prophet. You know, a person can be well cultured, intelligent, and important, but this is all useless and meaningless if they're not right with God. Sometime later, Paul would write to the church in Corinth and underline that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, from whom, of course, all true wisdom is birthed. So if we move away from the gospel, it opens us up to all sorts of superstitious ideas and practices that ultimately make no sense whatsoever. Some would almost do or believe anything than submit in humble faith to an all-knowing, all-loving God.
John, so what about John Mark? We read about him. He was the one who made the decision to leave the mission group and go back home. What do you think went wrong here?
Well, John Mark was a young guy. He was a young man, probably going along there with Paul and Barnabas as a helper, doing odd jobs. Perhaps he wasn't prepared for the rigors of traveling a long time in unfamiliar territory. And so he turns back. And later we find out that Paul wasn't happy about this, feeling that John Mark was leaving them just when they needed him most. But as time goes on, John Mark matures. And in the end, we'll see Paul asking for John Mark himself to be included in one of his next missionary journeys. So, you know, the apostles, just like us, they're human beings. They make mistakes. They struggle in their lives. And, you know, they need God's wisdom and the opportunity to mature, as do we.
You know, very often when we listen to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, we find that he refers a lot to the Old Testament. But why didn't he just tell the people then that Christ died and he rose again and they didn't necessarily need the Old Testament anymore?
Well, when Paul was preaching, don't forget there was no New Testament written down as yet. The written word of God was still limited to the Old Testament prophets. And he was talking to mostly Jews, or people at least who were pretty familiar with the law and the prophets. And his messages then were meant to show people how Christ came as it had been predicted by those prophets in the Old Testament. And this is why when the New Testament was finally completed, it was necessary to consider the Old and the New Testaments together as one complete book. So the Old lays the foundation for the New, and you witness, and we are have the privilege of witnessing in the Bible that we can read God's plan of salvation from the beginning right through to Revelation, from creation to Revelation, which foretells his next coming and eternal life in heaven.
Wow, that's awesome, John. So I know that even when Paul was preaching to the Jews in the context of the synagogue, in the end of his speech, he still turns his emphasis to the Gentiles, which was his ministry. I think the end of the chapter does talk to us about this, right, John?
Yeah, it does. And when the Jews, you're right, in Antioch resist the gospel, Paul says to them, look, it was only right that we should bring this to you Jews first, but since you've insulted us and rejected our message, well, we're going to turn to the Gentiles and they will listen. Now, obviously, there were believing Jews at the time, but the majority of them opposed Paul's message. And this meant that Israel would no longer be the main focus of the early Christian church. And from then on, most missionary outreach has been to the Gentile nations.
Wow, well, this was another great study in the book of Acts. So how do we sum up or wrap up or get some wisdom from chapter 13?
Okay, well, in our study, Esther, we've seen how this gospel has been crossing borders. The Church of Christ is on the move as the Spirit of God was prompting them to send out missionaries. And the Spirit communicated to the church leaders that they should set aside Paul and Barnabas for this special missionary duty. And they obeyed that call and they took John Mark with them on that first missionary journey into Asia Minor, or what we would know today as being modern-day Turkey. And we'll see plenty more of this activity as the early church expands outward into the known world. And as members of the church, we are called by God to be missionaries, or missionary supporters, in the sense that each and every one of us can do something to make Jesus known in the wide world that needs him so desperately.
And it's with that we say thank you for joining us for today's episode of Mission 66, dear friends. There's so much more to the story found in the book of Acts, so be sure to join us next time right here on Mission 66.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Louise Seow. I'm Rob Dempsey.